About his, yeah, just God's faithfulness, and it'll get there. Relax, they'll get there. Yeah, they just got to get the volumes right, and so anyhow, yeah, just amazing to think of his faithfulness in his name, and the song that we're singing is all about today. So we're going to talk about Ascension Day a little bit today. But a couple of announcements before that. So if you brought your notebook, your diary, make a note, things like that. Next Sunday's Pentecost Sunday. So what we're wanting to do, Pentecost is about the birth of the church. It's about unity in the church. It's about the Spirit coming on all of us. So we are going to move next door for next Sunday, and we are going to introduce some other people just to a bit of our songs and music and things like that. So we're going to do some worship, and it's even more. I'll try to get Timber to preach for us. I thought, let's go in big, and unfortunately he's away, so I've asked Yuri to do that, but yeah. So pray for next week. Come early. You know, these Afrikaans churches, they start at 9, which means you have to be there at 5 to 9, because at 5 past 9, half the service could be over already by then. So anyhow, just put your shoes on. Don't come in slippers. Take your meds. Brush your hair. Whatever else you normally do. And then on Friday, I'll mention it again, but this Friday is the Stillwort Ochend that Ansie Goost does. And she did the TJF for us last Friday, and it was amazing. So I know that there's people, I want to try and get Megan there, and I wish I could, Jackie's busy on a Friday afternoon, but a couple of people, Bev and I are really, really just enjoying it, and it'll come into my message. So they gather at about 2:15, start at 2:30, and it goes to about 4:30. If you don't have enough time, you can end early, but I'm just finding some of the things that she's talking about just very, very helpful and useful. Maybe I should try to get John there as well, hey? He's not even listening. Verstaan? I'm saying, maybe I need to get you there on the Friday afternoon. No, then. Yeah, that's a bit, I don't have that much faith to get John there on a Friday afternoon. Anyhow, and then the last thing is next Tuesday evening, a horrific time. Our national director is up. He's coming with a team of interns, and they're stopping off at Allowell North, and then at Empton Journey, and then they're going up to Polokwane, and all the way down through Durban. So he's got about 13 people on a bit of a road trip. So next, not this Tuesday, the following Tuesday, whatever it is, the 8th or something like that, 7th or 8th, we're going to have a combined sort of post-Pentecost worship, celebration, and ministry time. It's a Tuesday evening at Following Jesus. So we're saying, come a bit early. We can just, with a couple of the people, we can have some snacks, meet some other people from the Vineyard. We'll put those details. I've got them on a PDF as well. And then from 7 o'clock, we'll have some worship and that at Following Jesus. So I'm hoping, I know Jackie and Peter are in for that on a Tuesday night, and anyone else, so come and join me for that. And yeah, those are the three things that need to let you know about. So Ascension Day, it's not today, it was on Thursday. But we haven't managed yet to sort of take the day off and do a Vineyard thing on a Thursday. Our sort of tradition is we always had, Rissydale Primary, so it was never an option, but in actual fact, Ascension Day, since the birth of the church, has been one of the most pivotal and important celebrations. You know, in early art, early mosaics and all kinds of things, Ascension Day was so prominent in early Christianity. It's like they got something about Ascension Day that sometimes we just miss. So I'm going to share some of those things and tie it into what I was talking about the last 2 weeks. So Last couple of weeks, I've been talking about being in Christ, what it is to be in Him, in Christ Jesus, what it is to have identity and security and purpose because of the fact that we're positioned in Him. So one of the passages that I shared last week was Ephesians, end of Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 2. And so I was sitting going through the readings this week and I was like, here they all are again. And in actual fact, intentionally, these readings are so much a part of Ascension Day. So I'm going to read some of those texts that we read last week. We kind of like do a bit of a refrain. And then I'm going to talk about the power crisis and alternative power and things like that as a bit of an analogy. And I'm hoping with Dylan here, I don't butcher it completely. He'll probably tell me how much I got wrong afterwards. But Lord, we just say, come, as we sang and as we welcomed you. We just say again that we need you, Lord. We just declare that your name is above every name, including ours. Including all the things that stress us, that worry about us, that are assailing us. We just confess that your name is above all of them. And so we say, come, in Jesus' name. So let me read to you a couple of those passages from Ephesians, and we'll go in and out of them if that's okay. So going a little bit, reversing a little bit from where I read last week. From verse 11 of Ephesians chapter 1, Paul says there that in him we were also chosen, that we were predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in the conformity to his will. It's like one sentence in the string of a whole lot that you just go, this is stuff to worship about, to confess. You work all of this out in conformity with the purpose of your will. In order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And that's for all of us, even for those of us that came later, that we would be lives lived for his glory. And you also, now he's writing to the Ephesians and to us, we were included in Christ when we heard the message of truth. When we hear the message and we go, yes. So some of you, depending on different seasons in the church, you came forward to an altar call, you put your hand up, you prayed the sinner's prayer. It's like, but it doesn't matter what you did. When we heard the message and believed and said yes, we were included in Christ. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal. Isn't that amazing? When we heard the message and we believed, we were included. And then Paul says, you were marked with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. The Spirit is a deposit that is guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. Again, Paul says, to the praise of his glory. I mean, these are just, I find, you know, as we're talking, there's 200 and something verses about being in Christ, in the Father, in him, in the Spirit, in Christ Jesus, and all this. But there's a string here, there's a flow from the end of Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 2 that is just so powerful. So then Paul goes into that prayer. You know that prayer that I love so much? I've given you like little images of it. We shared on it last year. But from verse 15, Paul then takes all this amazing stuff, this just this, God has done so much for us. And then he says, so because of that, we pray. So he says, for this reason, literally, because of what God has done, ever since I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for all his people, I've not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. So when Paul hears about this, he says, I haven't stopped praying. And then he says this, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I think, I don't always do this, but quite honestly, I think this is a prayer that you should pray every week. Pray that God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, this glorious Father, would give us the spirit of wisdom. Lord, so it's Lord, give us the spirit. And then with that, the spirit that brings wisdom and revelation. And literally it says in the knowledge of him. Wisdom and revelation is found in our knowledge of God. NIV says it in another way, that we may know him better. And then he says, the next thing, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he's called you. Again, this is what I preached on last week. I think the sermons are on YouTube or the internet. But I mean, this is just a prayer for last year, the year before, this year again. For hope. That the eyes of our heart, our eyes and the eyes of our heart would be enlightened. That God's light would shine in the darkness of our lives. And not only give us hope, but show us the hope to which we were called to. And then the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. So Paul says, pray that you would get your inheritance. Not get it, but that you would know it. And that the light would be switched on, that you would realize just how great this inheritance is. And that's some of what I've been preaching on the last few weeks. And then he says, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. It's quite amazing. Pray that we'd have the Spirit. That as the Spirit comes, we would have wisdom, revelation to know God. Wisdom and revelation that comes from God. It's like a circular prayer. It's like we want to know God. As we get to know God, we have wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Pray that you would get all that he's done for you, that you would know this inheritance and the incomparably great power to us who believe. And then he says, well, what's that power like? What power is part of your inheritance? The same power that God worked, and there's three words of power there, so it's quite amazing, but there's three different Greek words, but it's like, it's the power that he worked, that is like, the word is energizing. The power that he energized when he raised Christ from the dead. And then he says, and there are different translations for this, but anyway. So, the power is the same as his mighty strength, says the NIV, that he exerted or energized when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. And that is the ascension. It's the end of Luke. It's the beginning of Acts. It's that Christ not only died, he was not only resurrected, but he is ascended to the right hand. And ascended to the right hand, and Paul says here, far above all rule, all authority, every power, dominion, And then it's like Paul runs out of categories. And he says, every name that is named. Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father in heavenly places above every name that is named. And then we'll jump to this chapter 2 that I read to you last week. But just to interject, the one psalm Paul quotes there from Psalm 110, okay? And Psalm 110 was the most well-known psalm in the New Testament and the early church. It is quoted more than any other psalm. So the early church got this, and Psalm 110 is about that Jesus, David prophesies this. He says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. And so this reverberates through the New Testament. So Jesus is ascended. He is seated at the right hand. And Psalm 110, and within the Near East, the picture is of a ruler, a king, sitting, John, you'll like this, all your enemies, lying on the floor. And what they did is they would sit with their feet on their heads. So you could do two things. You could chop the heads of your enemies off, and you could sit and use them as a footstool. Okay? Or where there were rulers that were like powers and principalities and authorities and minor lords, they would lie at the feet of the king, and the king would literally rest his head on them so that the people would see that they now are under his feet. And so that when they went out from the king's throne room, everybody knew that he could use them as a footstool. And if they didn't bow to his authority, well, he'd use just their heads the next time instead of them sitting there. So that was a powerful image. And the image is that Jesus has won. But Psalm 110 says Christ is seated. Paul says he's seated after this victory until all his enemies are used as a footstool for his feet. And that's that tension of like the victory has been won, but we're still at war. There's still a mopping up operation, so to speak, that his name is above every name. There's just a lot of names that don't know that yet. And so the tension of living between the cross and the second coming, between the ascension and eternity, and living within that tension now, and the fact that we experience that battle here. It's not just out there, it's also here. So, I won't read the whole passage, but read Ephesians chapter 2, the first 10 verses. And here's the thing, I mean, just picture this. I've been banging on about this for 2 weeks. Christ raised from the dead, far above every name that is named. And then Paul says, in verse 6, because of his great love for us, because of what he's done for us. So read 1 to 10, I read it last week. God raised us up in Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms in Christ. And that should be something that, going back to verse 15, we pray, we share, we remind ourselves, we remind one another that Christ is ascended above every power, ruler, authority, dominion, name that is named. And where is he seated us? In him. Far above every power, principality, ruler, dominion, name that is named. Crazy. It's madness. But it's incredible. That is where God sees that we are. So let's just think of some of those implications for us. We were created, if you think of it, when you read the Genesis story, when you start at the beginning of the Bible, we were created by God in His image. In all of creation, it is humanity that is created in God's image to rule over creation, to have authority, to have dominion, and to partner with God and image forth God into creation. What is happening here? God has reversed the whole story. We are back where we meant to be, in a position of authority, honor, privilege, to do what we were initially created to do. So He's reversed the curse. He's put us back where we belong. But there's a difference. So just remember, there's two big buts. And that's not my one that I'm talking about, but just two big buts. And so the first one is that, so the difference between now and Genesis 1 is we are positioned where we meant to be, but it's in Him. Our authority, anything that we have, our inheritance, is only in and through Christ Jesus. And so we'll mention this just now, and it's only as we find ourselves in Him and as we remain plugged in to Him. There's nothing intrinsic to me unless I am in Christ Jesus. And that's the thing that we need to get, that Paul says, pray about it. And then secondly, I mean, you know the story, I think it's a revelation to all of us, that we're living in these mortal bodies. We're living in a world that has been corrupted by sin and death. There are powers, rulers, authorities that refuse to bow the knee. One day they will have no choice. But in the meantime, they're still fighting. And then I find within myself that there are powers and rulers and dominions that also struggle a little bit every now and then. Mostly 24/7, but anyhow. So that's why I wanted to say power and prayer. Paul prays that we would know. Paul prays, he says, ask for the Spirit. Pray for the power of the Holy Spirit. So power at the moment is quite a current issue, isn't it? Bit of a pun there. But power is a problem. We're in load shedding every, you know, winter and that, we back into load shedding and things like that. So Eskom is a name. Load shedding is another one. Alternative power sources, green power, dirty power, no power. So at home, so I've been chatting a little bit to Dylan and looking at some of his alternative power sources, and I'm just realizing that power, well, from the one name, it's getting more and more expensive, but there's more and more alternative sources of power. We did a renovation quite a number of years ago, and I was looking at putting solar in, and it was so expensive. It was just like, oh, no. And now, just realizing that from a solar point of view, solar panels and things like that, come right down. The technology's increased, and the affordability has got a lot better. So power is available. But I'm beginning to understand a little bit, this is where it gets dodgy. There's some engineers and electricians and people in the congregation, so just give me lots of grace, okay? But the problem, as I understand it, as Dylan has explained it, The problem is converting it and storing it. You know, so the conversion thing, you need these things called inverters. No idea why. I just thought you put the panels in and you just plug it into the wall. Apparently, it doesn't work like that. You need these inverters, and then you need these batteries. And everything is about, well, how much power do you need? How much power do you want? And Dylan was chatting to me. He says, how much are you willing to change your lifestyle? I said, very easily, but Bev isn't. So, you know, it's like, we have a little, I'll tell you, how much time have I got? Not a lot. We have a UPS, it's like most of you know the UPS, so we plug the Wi-Fi into it, and the UPS is meant to be there for, it's a backup for the Wi-Fi and the fiber for when we're in meetings, it won't go down, but Bev uses a desktop machine, so she changed the office around there, and she said, it's fine. She's going to plug her desktop machine into this UPS that I didn't buy for the, it was like, somewhere down there is like, you could do that if you wanted to. That has just moved right to the top of the agenda. It's like, the desktop machine is in the UPS. So, you know, talking to, they said, look, it'll still, you know, depending how you use it, you know, screens and all kinds of things, it'll last, you know, it'll last for load shedding if it's 2.5 hours. It's not going to go much longer than that. So Bev plugs her desktop in, and she's in meetings and that kind of thing. I think it's after an hour the thing starts screaming at her. So already there's alarms going off and everything like that. She says to me afterwards, well, it probably wasn't such a good idea to have my iPad plugged in and my cell phone and my power bank. So she plugged everything into the computer to charge it from the computer, and the battery was just like, no! So, again, so I'm trying to understand these things. How much power do we want? How much power can we store? The other thing that's interesting, and hopefully I'll connect the dots just now before Pentecost, excuse me, is batteries. I was like talking to Dylan and getting batteries are so expensive. Where you've got to store, this is just ridiculous. Solar panels have come down, batteries have come up. But the good news is that batteries have also advanced. So we used to have these cell phones and things, and again, I stand correct, but we used to have these nickel cadmium batteries at one stage, and there were ways that we used them. And all the new batteries are all the lithium batteries. And they can, so these batteries that you can get, they're guaranteed for 10 years. They've got like a lifespan. I've got a friend that his have lasted even longer and things like that. So I'm always using my lithium batteries the way I used to use my nickel cadmium batteries. So Dylan and I are walking and he's going, no, that you're not meant to do, you know, he's like, you're not meant to let everything die the whole time and leave it dead and then charge it to, I'm like, that's what I learned, that's what I was told. He's like, it's old news, wrong battery. It's like, okay, so I'm learning stuff. So the batteries are getting better. But let's go back to storage in a little while and go back to source and supply in this metaphor. God is in the sourcing, the power business. He's an amazing source of power. He has all the power that he wants. His power, the same power that was at work when he raised Christ from the dead, he is saying he wants to supply to us. I mean, that's incredible. There's no problem with the source of power. There's no problem. God is not Eskom. There's no load. He's like, I've got it. You can have it. He's made it freely available to us. But I don't know about you, but I'm still battling with the access and the storage bit. It's still a little bit tricky. So this mortal body is not a good storage unit. It's like the old nickel, whatever was before the nickel cadmium battery, it's even before that. It's just not a great storage business. In fact, you might have experienced, but it has certain corrosion problems, a bit of rust and things like that, that some of you might be battling with. And then there's this issue of connections. And now, you know, when you learn about, I mean, we used to have internet that came through our telephone line, then we had ADSL lines, and now we've got fiber lines. And so the connections are like so important, how you connect to this. And the issue of connection is that our access is through Him. It is in Him and through Him. When we are connected in Him, we have access to His power. We have access to our inheritance. When we remain in Him, plugged in, we have access to all that He's given to us. But again, I said, the problem is the storage unit and this access. The problem is not the supply. The problem is we unplug for all kinds of reasons. So when we unplug, we don't only just unplug from God a lot of the time, but we plug in to other places. You know, and we live and work, and we're in this whole worldly system. And so sometimes we just plugged in to what's going on around us, whether it's at work or whether it's in the city or the community or whatever. And sometimes we literally plug ourselves in. And so I'm going to push that analogy a little bit more before we pray. So it kind of leads to all sorts of problems. So I find that there are systems shutting down. There are all kinds of people in storage units that are experiencing, burnout, anxiety. It's like, whatever power, if I could say it like this, whatever power we're trying to access, whatever life we're trying to access, it's not always good for us. It's almost like the system has a meltdown. And it, as I said, it gets worse because, you know, those pictures of those, all these illegal connections. So you drive up past, Dipslert and things like that, and you just see cables all over the place. It's like, and that becomes like another, and you just see these cables all over the place. And you think, but that's what we do in life. Sometimes we go, I know where there is clean power. I know where there's a good source of power. But you know what? Maybe it's just cheaper. Maybe it's just easily accessed over here. So to push the analogy, sometimes, although there's an initial kick, initial power supply, an easy power supply, often it has adverse effects for us. So when I run on what the world has to offer, what the world supplies me, I run the storage unit down in a way that was never intended. I do damage to myself. And I experience it in all kinds of ways. Ansi Khos has been saying part of what she does on these afternoons is she spends, like, it's like a half an hour. The second time we went, it was so irritating. Because she's, as a psychologist, she says, we all have a threshold. And the problem is we all living so close to that threshold. And when we go through the threshold, so now this is changing analogies. She actually draws it. She says, when we push through the threshold, we pay the price. We experience it in terms of, you know, emotionally or our nervous systems or health or something. She said, there is always a price that we pay. But the problem is that we are all living so close to that threshold. And so what she does is she tries to teach and share just some techniques of relaxation and breathing and journaling and all, like a whole myriad of things. And the word that she uses is, she says, we're trying to sort of downgrade just the level that we're running at. We're just trying to lower this angst and energy and stress that we all, it's just the way we function at the moment. And here's the psychologist, going back to my analogy, saying, this system is not meant to run at such an intensity. It corrodes the flippant thing. And she's just trying to give these suggestions on that, to just downgrade the thing. So I try to follow a couple of podcasts and things like that, and it was quite interesting. This week I went to some of the regular podcasts that I follow, and two of them are both doing seasons on anxiety. They, you know, whether you read in the newspaper, when you read, so it's Christian sources, it's psychology sources, they're saying one of the biggest battles that we as a society are facing, it's just the levels of anxiety that we are running with. And so how do we land this? I think we are sourcing our supply continually from the wrong places. We are plugging in to a system that is running me at, like, you know, John will be able to tell you, all these power stations, they're running at, you know, capacities that they were never meant to run at. There's never a break, there's never maintenance, there's, you know, all of that. And I'm going, but that's me a lot of the time. And I know some of you, you're worse. We're doing the same thing. So let me leave you with that, and just with a simple analogy is that I think sometimes we need to unplug. You're going to find some of those excessive cables. You know, and everyone plugs everything into the one. But sometimes it's worse, eh? Sometimes we don't even have that three-prong. We've just got a whole lot of wires, and we've just, like, sticking them in places they were never meant to be stuck in. And we need to say, in Him is an inheritance and a resource that we were created for. And we need to plug into Him again. So the kids are saying, He's gone way over time, we want tea, and that's fine. But let's pray. So Lord, we confess to you.